Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love to show off this church to tourists. I love to tell them where the building was, what parts are the oldest parts of the building, how it was rolled up from the shore. I think that's just wonderful. I tell them about Brother Iverson and how he built the pulpit in back of me, and how he, being a tall Norwegian, towered over that pulpit. And they had to build a little platform for the short Italian that came so many years later. I love to show off the building. But when we come to anniversaries, I don't think of this building. I think of the people. The people who are here today, who are passing on the legacy to the next generation. The people from whose shoulders we are standing upon. Whose voices we hear no more, but we honor them today. Those who sacrificed to see this beautiful place be built. Those who sacrificed for the next generation. And I think not only of the people who are here today who are occupying these pews, I think of a future that I cannot even imagine, but that I know will happen in the next generations. And I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about the lady whom we honor that many of you don't know, because she spent decades of her life away from this place. Her name was Grace Knutson. She was the second daughter of Floyd and Laurel Knutson. They raised her in this church. She was baptized here as an infant. She was confirmed in 1946, and because the Moravians are great record keepers, I have her confirmation text. It was Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, which I'll quote in a few minutes. She was also married from this church in 1955, and there's a picture of her wedding. And then she went off, like most people do, from this hill, to find her fortune elsewhere. And she lived all of her adult life in another state, in a state where there was not a Moravian church. And one thing that struck me about her life was, for her entire life, she had the strength of her conviction. She had a very strong faith. She not only had an inner faith, where she knew Jesus and knew his love for her, but she spread that faith around. She loved to work with her hands, and she would bless people with the work of her hands, and we even have a sample of that in Fellowship Hall. She did not find a Moravian church where she was living after marriage, so she joined the Mennonites. The Mennonites are a strong, small group of people who believe in social justice, who believe that we should take care of the least of these. And within her travels, she and her husband, after they raised their family, went to New Mexico to spread the gospel there and to help people who were indigent in the state of New Mexico. Everywhere she went, she displayed her faith. And I think that's an important lesson for us today. Because we think of the children that we're raising now. Some might have the opportunity to come back and raise their families here, but many don't. Of the Knutson girls, only one was able to come back, and she's sitting here today and raise her family here. And we look at that. Most churches look at that as a deficit. Like, well, we're going to put all this time and effort into our kids, and then they're going to leave us. And then what happens to us? And perhaps we need to look at this very differently. When our kids leave, they're not leaving. They're launching. They're launching into a new life. And whatever we have taught them here goes with them into that new life. Perhaps the people that Grace met never heard of Ephraim Moravian Church, but they had the benefit of all her learning and all her experiences here, and all that she was that we molded became something new for another group of people. The seeds that we planted here are planted all over the United States and beyond. That's the work of the church. We often think, what's in it for us? And I say to people when someone asks me, well, why should I be a Christian? What's in it for me? Well, I say, well, besides grace and love and hope and joy and all the things Jesus gives us, not much. We sometimes receive a benefit in a local church, but our benefit is that that message of love and hope goes with our children. You think of all the wonderful things that were built into Grace's life as a young person that sustained her throughout her life. After, when she was married, there's a beautiful picture there of her wedding party, and one of the members of her wedding party was her sister Elaine. Elaine was her maid of honor. And Elaine died young in a car accident. And it was the strength and comfort and power of this church that helped Grace and her sisters and this church not lose their faith because of that tragedy, and helped them go on. And so the faith was not just, well, God loves you and everything will be okay, but the faith had substance, and that substance went with her. And so we want to be a church that launches our young people into places that might never know about us, but will have the benefit of what we have done for those young people. And it's not just what we teach them in Sunday school and church. You remember the story in Deuteronomy when they're giving the parents and the community instructions. Moses said, keep these words, recite them to your children, talk about them when you were at home and when you were away, when you lie down and when you rise up, put them on your forehead, put them on your hand so they're right in front of you, put it on the doorpost. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind. And what's the second commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. And if we can get that into our kids, and they can go off and become ambassadors, launch wherever they go, they are ambassadors to the grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's not only what they hear from me at the pulpit. Every single one of us, whether you have children or not, are a sermon. And the quality of their lives are going to depend on how they see us. Not just when we're sitting in the pews, but when we're in that time of fellowship, or when we're talking in the hallway. We are sermons whether we know it or not. So I imagine the quality of the lives that surrounded Grace were of such ineffable beauty that she then displayed that in the rest of her life. In my last church, I had a man who was so good and holy that anytime I would ask my confirmation class, who do you want to emulate? Which person in the church would you say best describes Jesus? And they'd always point to that guy and say, that's him. And what they didn't know was he came to the church after he was working on his third marriage. When he came to the church, he had never been raised in a church. He had no understanding of faith. And the only reason he came was his current girlfriend said, we're not dating unless you come to church with me. So he came. That was a good holy reason for coming. And he didn't quite understand what the preacher was talking about. He didn't quite understand all this talk about faith and hope and love and who Jesus was. But there was a couple in church, an older couple, that were so wholesome, and you could see that they loved each other. And he thought, I don't know anything, but I want to be like them. And over the years, he learned what it was like to have a grace-infused life. So by the time those young kids came, he was exuding that. We hope that in our ministry, whether people stay here or launch, that there will be fruit all over this nation and this world that are from this church. I think of that beautiful picture in Revelation when there's a new heaven and a new earth, and we are around the table of the Lamb and we're rejoicing in the heavenly kingdom. I would hope that it will take years of eternity for us to seek out those in the generations that were influenced by this ministry, by us. And who knows who will come to us and say, if it wasn't for what you did for someone here, we couldn't have survived. We can launch the next generation. And let us start today being sermons within ourselves. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful for the pastors, for the Sunday school teachers, for the choir members, for all of the people who influence Grace's life. And we're so grateful that when she launched from this place, she was a strong witness for you wherever she went. And we ask that you would give us that type of ministry to look to the future, to help our people to be ambassadors wherever we go, whether it's here or throughout the U.S. We ask that your grace would sustain us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.